puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
And now it's time for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Keisha.
Now, please tell me, what are we going to be discussing this week?
Well, the National Trust for Canada draws awareness to our nation's built heritage through its annual Canada Historic Places Day. In recognition of this event, for each of the past 3 years, my organization, the Manitoba Historical Society, has released a top 10 list of endangered historic structures around our province. This morning, listeners will be the first to hear the list for 2022.
Oh, you know I love VIP access. So I want to know, are there any structures on previous lists that have been lost?
Yes, unfortunately. So our 2019 list had the grain elevator at Elva. And of course, listeners know, because we talked about it recently, that it was destroyed by fire back in April. Three entries on the 2020 list have been demolished. The Gordon House on Wellington Crescent here in Winnipeg, Brandon's International Harvester Building next to the 18th Street Bridge, and the grain elevator at Tyndall, Manitoba. So far, there's just one loss on the 2021 list, and that's the grain elevator at Homewood, Manitoba.
And have any structures on previous lists been restored?
Well, there are positive signs in the case of a few structures from preceding years. The provincial government has made a financial investment in the Kennedy House along the Red River. That was on the 2019 list. And, of course, also on the historic Hudson's Bay Company store here in Winnipeg. It's on the 2021 list. As I mentioned last week, the roof is being restored at St. Vladimir's College in Roblin. It's on the 2020 list. And two other items from the 2020 list, the tree planting car and the Brookdale Flat Warehouse, either have been or soon will be moved to the Manitoba Agricultural Museum.
Okay, so what is on the 2022 list?
Okay, I'm going to present it in chronological order. In other words, the order in which it first appeared, not in any particular priority. In fact, I would say all of these are sort of equally important. Number one are the small cemeteries spread all over southern Manitoba. We talked about them a few weeks back. There was a practice of Mennonite settlers in this area to bury their dead on the family farm. And what this means is that there are now many small, poorly delimited cemeteries on privately owned land. In the Mennonite East Reserve, two-thirds of the 116 cemeteries there are said to be at risk. And the same holds true for cemeteries in the rural municipalities of Rhineland and Stanley. You know, I believe that graves should be properly identified and the Cemeteries Act in Manitoba should be amended to afford protection and perpetual access to these important historic resources.
And what's number two on the list?
Well, just 3 weeks ago, we talked about the Manitoba Development Center in Portage-la-Prairie. Since 1890, it has accommodated Manitobans with various medical challenges, including mental illness. From its height in the 1960s, its resident population has decreased and the center will soon close. No plans have been announced for a new use for the many buildings on this extensive campus, and we worry that it could be another provincial asset that sits vacant for far too long.
I'm wondering about the Salvation Army Citadel.
Right, a very attractive brick and stone building on Rupert Avenue in downtown Winnipeg. It was completed in 1901. It supported the charitable work of the Sally Ann for many years. Unfortunately, it was vacated in 1986, and apparently much of its interior was destroyed by fire in 2010. The building is believed to be just an empty shell. There have been plans made for its reuse, but unfortunately, none of them have come to fruition. We do believe that many creative new uses could be found to preserve this striking building.
I know that you're a sucker for grain elevators. What about the North Transcona grain elevator?
Right. This is a 1 million bushel grain elevator on the edge of a massive railway yard in northeast Winnipeg. This elevator built in 1912, so it's over 100 years old. Within a year of its construction, grain inside the storage bins caused it to tilt about 30 degrees off vertical. That almost fell over, in fact.
Wow.
But engineers managed to put it upright. It was leased by several grain companies through the years, and it was bought in 1970 by the grain firm of Parrish and Heimbecker. They operated it as one of the first country elevators made of concrete in Manitoba. Well, it was closed in the fall of 2021, and this engineering marvel that was literally groundbreaking now faces an uncertain future.
Oh, man. And I'm curious about the Wetter barn.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this is a 4,300 square foot barn, pretty big for barns, south of Hartney, Manitoba, built in 1918 for farmer Clinton Wetter. It used fir timbers brought by rail from British Columbia. Unfortunately, Mr. Wetter only got to use his barn for 2 years before his early death at the age of just 40 years old. His son Jack took over the farm when he came of age, and the barn is now owned by the fourth generation of the Wetter family. You know, it does need a new roof to keep out the elements, and the building is, well, no longer essential to modern farm operations. So, just like a lot of barns around Manitoba, its owners need some new use to justify the repairs, the costly repairs, to keep it standing into the future.
And Gordon, tell me about the Valley View building.
Built between 1920 and 1924, this three-story brick building on Brandon's North Hill enabled a new approach to the treatment of mental illness that embraced the concept of eventually discharging patients back into the community. In other words, treating them as patients requiring help, not prisoners to be simply locked away for the rest of their lives. Listeners may recall our conversation about the Valley View building way back in 2016. Well, the building closed in 1992, and it sat vacant ever since. It is touted, though, as a possible home for innovative new programming by Brandon's Assiniboine Community College. So really hopeful that this building will survive.
And let's take it over to Transcona with the Transcona Winter Vault.
Uh-huh. So here's a small brick building on the grounds of the Transcona Cemetery on Dugald Road. It's just on the edge of the city of Winnipeg in the rural municipality of Springfield. Built in 1932 using bricks salvaged from an abandoned church. For decades, it was used as a chapel and, more importantly, a winter storage facility when the frozen ground prevented burials. Of course, you couldn't dig into the ground to bury someone, so instead you stored them in the winter vault until the springtime when you could. Now empty and replaced by a new building, the Transcona Winter Vault is, I think, an interesting reminder of former burial practices in Manitoba, and it's one of only five winter vaults that are known to exist here.
And of course, there's the Winnipeg Fire Hall number 9. Tell us about that.
Right. Opened in 1957, this was the third fire hall used by what at the time was known as the City of St. Boniface. Of course, St. Boniface became a part of Unicity, and in the aftermath of that merger, all of the fire departments of the various municipalities joined as well. That was in 1972. And this fire hall was renumbered as a facility of the new City of Winnipeg. Although the fire hall remains in use right now, it is believed by the fire department to be unsuitable for its future firefighting and paramedic services. So the city plans to close and demolish it in the near future.
And this is one that's dear to my heart, the MS River Rouge.
Uh-huh. Yeah, a lot of people have fond memories of, you know, riding aboard a cruise ship on the Red River. The River Rouge was built in 1967 at Selkirk at a cost of about $500,000. It had a capacity of 400 passengers. It was a big ship. Eventually, the changing economics of it caused it to be beached in something called the Selkirk Slough, sort of a water body on the edge of the city of Selkirk. That was in 2014. And unfortunately, I visited it back in February. The River Rouge's paint is peeling. Its hull is rusting. If it can't be restored to service, it will likely suffer the same fate as other former cruise ships that were either destroyed by fire or dismantled. But, you know, incidentally, anyone who remembers those days fondly, the days of the River Rouge and other cruise ships, may be interested in a new memoir that's just been published entitled Welcome Aboard, written by Steve Hotchuck. he was one of the fellows who operated the riverboats.
And then there's the Swisten Buddhas.
So this is an interesting one. I'm fascinated by this story. In the 1890s, when the first farmers arrived in the area south of Riding Mountain National Park, they lived in temporary shelters called Buddhas until they could build something more permanent. In 1978, two authentic Buddhas were reconstructed by carpenter and strongman. Oh, he was a character, in fact, a fellow named Mike Swistoon. Well, recently, unfortunately, one of the Buddhas was destroyed by an arson fire. And, you know, it's really too bad because it's a really important reminder of the struggles that many of our ancestors faced when they first came to Canada to have a new life. That's it for this year. But if listeners have any suggestions on endangered structures for next year's list, I'll be happy to hear from them.
And so will we. Can you please give us a hint about next week's episode?
This year marks the 20th anniversary of Doors Open Brandon, 3 days to celebrate the Wheat City's built heritage. Next week, we'll talk about the buildings that listeners can check out for themselves during the weekend of the 15th to the 17th.
I'm looking forward to that.
Talk next week. Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba, many moons.